pericope of Scripture this morning is Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Notice especially all the contrasts which Proverbs is very good at setting the one over against the other. The wise son, the foolish son. Verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart shall receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there's wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Please keep your Bibles open. Our text is verse 24, 25, but we're going to be referring to several of the other verses also. Verse 24 and 25, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. This is the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. May he bless now the reading and the preaching of it. Beloved, we stand at the beginning of a new day. We stand at the beginning of a new year. And all those look forward to the newness which God proclaims of a new heaven and a new earth. God says, behold, I make all things new. The two texts, or the two verses that we have as our text, constitute two different proverbs, but those two proverbs are really related. That is, they are one, contrasting the expectation and the future of the righteous and the expectation and the future of the wicked. As I said, we can see that contrast throughout the book of Proverbs, and especially in this chapter. There is the righteous and the wicked. There is the wise son and the foolish son. There is the just and the unjust. There is the one who walks uprightly, and there is one who perverts his way. There is one that loves, and there is one that hates. And especially we see the contrast of the expectancy or the future in verses 27 through 30. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed. The wicked shall not inhabit the earth. So what is contrasted is not only individuals, but contrasted is their behavior and their emotions, their life, and contrasted, thirdly, is their expectation and their future. What a warning! What a warning for us as we step into this new year, but what also a comfort. A whirlwind is coming, we read in verse 25. A whirlwind is coming, a whirlwind of judgment. Those signs are all around us that things are hastening to that end when Jesus comes again. That separation is a blessing, for it brings a separation between the righteous and the wicked that now oppress them. So notice with me the expectation of the wicked and the righteous. That's my theme. The expectation of the wicked and the righteous. Notice the contrast of characters, the contrast of behavior and emotions, and then contrast of expectation. Two classes of people are set before us. In verse 25, we read, first of all, about the wicked. They are unbelievers. They are wicked sinners. They are reprobates. They are those who are far from God. They are ungodly. They are foolish. There's no wisdom in them. There is no fear of God in their hearts. Now, with that whole list of name and adjectives, every one of those could be used of you and me. They could be our names, couldn't they? Except for one of them. The name reprobate, by the grace of God. But I'm getting ahead of myself now. The wicked, the ungodly, the reprobate are without knowledge. Oh, they can be the smartest person on earth. They can be more intelligent than others. They can be the most read. But their hearts are depraved. They turn their knowledge against the truth. They suppress that truth. They hold it down. So that what can be known about God is clearly revealed. Romans 1 verse 9. And we read there, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Romans 1 verse 21. Because that they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They are without excuse. So first of all, Solomon sets before our eyes in our text here those wicked, those ungodly, without excuse. For what can be known of God has been revealed to them, but they hold it down. They don't want it. Now, over against that group, the wicked, our text talks about, by God's grace, the righteous. Who are the righteous? They are the godly. That is, they are believers. They are the church of Jesus Christ. They are God's elect who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And those righteous now live amongst the wicked as a light in the midst of darkness. They are those who believe in God. They fear in God. As the first proverb that we read in Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The righteous are those who know God and stand in reverence and awe of him. They love God. They are those who have been snatched from their own ungodliness and sinfulness and united to Jesus Christ. And notice that term, the righteous. How are they righteous? That's been the issue, hasn't it, for now 4 years in our denomination? How are they righteous? They are righteous by the righteousness of God that is given to them, the righteousness of God procured by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not of themselves, but they are the righteous because righteousness has been given to them, but righteousness is also being worked in them by the Holy Spirit. That is, they are justified by God, and as a fruit of that, they are sanctified. They are now living in the way of the Lord, keeping his commandments, watching their footsteps. And therefore, they're very thankful. They're thankful. And that thankfulness shows by their desire to walk in the law of God and to do the will of God. They know God is righteous, and therefore they do not trifle with his law for his people. So we have those two classes of people, the wicked, the righteous. Distinct, antithetical. There is no middle ground in between there. You cannot straddle the fence and try to be part of each group. Where do you stand? The mark of a believer, the distinction of a righteous man, is in their desires. The distinction lies within their heart. How can you know whether you are in truly the righteous, that is, a believer, a child of God? Check the desires of your heart, out of which flow all the issues of life. What a blessed distinction. We talk about a new year or a new day, but I want to talk about new hearts. The child of God, the righteous, have been given a new heart. And by that grace in the heart, there is a desire there, a wonderful desire. Again, a warning. Just because we're a member of the church doesn't mean that we're believers, does not mean that we're righteous, does not mean that we're godly. There are also hypocrites in the church who go through all the same motions as we might, but not from the heart. We read of that in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, we read chapter 3, the first 5 verses, this know, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn aside. We see in the organized church of Jesus Christ here on earth, there's a mixed audience. Not all that claim to be Christians or children of God are children of God. In the church of Jesus Christ, we read in 2 Timothy 4, a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We look at the apostasy today in the church. Churches that are splitting over what issue? Because there are those who want to take on the new sexuality of our culture that we live in and adopt it as their own. They do not love the truth of God. So set before us, first of all, in our text, are these two distinct groups. The wicked, and by God's grace, the righteous, those made righteous in the blood of the Lord Jesus, who are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, now living godly lives. Now in our text, the second thing we notice as a contrast is there is the fear of the wicked, and that is contrasted over against the desire of the righteous. So we're looking at emotions and behavior that flows out of those hearts that are within, whether it be the heart of the wicked that is depraved or the heart of the child of God that is made new. Both, while there is that distinction, the fear of the wicked and the desire of the righteous, notice, it is not that the wicked only have fear and that the righteous only have desire. That's not the case. The wicked also have hope as well as fear, and the righteous also have fear as well as desire. But God, in our text, through Solomon, points out the predominant emotion and what will happen. The predominant emotion of the wicked and the righteous. There is, first of all, then, the fear of the wicked. Fear. Why is there fear in their heart? Because of the conviction of their own conscience. Their desires conflict with the will of God, and their conscience gives them no rest. Oh, they say there is no God, or they don't care about God, but look at them. Why do atheists and agnostics fight so hard in society? on any rules about God. It's because there's a fear in their heart. Oh, they try to drown out those fears. Maybe take plenty of swigs of alcohol. Take drugs. Seek the pleasure of this world. Get involved in their works and their plans, their ambitions. Cling to false philosophies. But it's because inwardly they know. Romans 1, they know there's a God. And the natural man desires to go to heaven, desires to have happiness to avoid going to hell. It's not because he desires to be with God, to know God, but he knows that there's coming a day of reckoning. Verse 25, there's a whirlwind coming. And natural man wants to escape the consequences of sin. Escape God's wrath. Escape hell. Let me give an illustration that we're well aware of. Balaam. Some of the most beautiful words that can be found in Scripture come out of that rascal's mouth. I quote Numbers 23, verse 10. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Wow, those are beautiful words. He saw God's blessing upon Israel. He understood that he could not curse what God blesses. He desired that end. But he did not desire the life of the righteous. His life was a life of greed, the desire for the pleasures of this world. Oh, the fear of the wicked. They desire sin. They desire the things of the world, and that outweighs and drowns out their conscience. What do we read about Balaam and the wicked? Think of a passage from 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Talking about the wicked. They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity by the dumb ass speaking with a man's voice, which forbade the madness of the prophet. He knew the right way. He knew about Jehovah. He knows that the Lord would bless his people. Oh, he would desire that in, but no, he doesn't want to live that way. He wanted riches. He wanted the money from gain. Satan comes with his own gospel to calm the fears of the wicked and say, it's okay. I'm going to get whatever I can in this world. We read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, in the church of Pergamos. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Carnal living in that church. They held to the doctrine of Balaam. that you can have life everlasting, but you can also live unrighteously. That's a false doctrine. Be sure your sins will find you out. What motivates your and my heart to go to heaven? Is it just to avoid hell? Or do we want to go to heaven so that we may be with the Lord and serve Him forever and ever? Do we just go through the form of godliness, but do we deny the power of it? The fear of the wicked. Oh, their conscience in them. Their conscience tells them, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So that is the primary emotion of the hearts of the wicked. Fear. They say there is no God, but they're fighting hard because they know there is. Over against the fear of the wicked, we read the desire of the righteous. That's a beautiful word. Desire, a powerful word in Scripture. Heart and mind, working, looking, striving after what the soul desires. How does the psalmist put it? My soul longeth and fainteth for the courts of our God. The desires of the heart of the child of God, that new heart, is like a hunger, a vacuum for food. That vacuum that can only be filled with food. And one will not be satisfied with anything else. Desire of the righteous. Luke 16, verse 21, speaks of Lazarus laid at the gate of the rich man. And we read, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Do you have that hunger for God's word? Or think of the beatitude. Blessed are they that hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hungering for God. Hungering and seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Psalm 42. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? Beloved, do you know that desire, that hunger, that thirsting in your heart? That hungering and thirsting that arises out of a great need, an empty place in your heart that needs to be filled. Nothing can stop that desire. You desire for it. You wrestle with God in prayer for that. You seek it like that man who seeks that pearl without price so that he buys that field and the treasure in it. How is there this kind of desire in your, my heart's beloved? And the answer is, it's by God's grace, isn't it? By God's grace, by nature, my heart too would desire the pleasures of the world, the good times, and even their sin. God says, I've given you a new heart. I've given you new desires. The desire of righteousness. Now, yes, there is also fear in our lives, isn't there? There's fear of a sinful world that's only becoming more sinful today. There's a fear of apostasy. What's going to happen to our own church with the fighting and bickering on that's been going on? There's the fear of sin. There's the fear of our own backsliding, that we might fall in temptation, and we do. Our desire to be filled with God in His presence wars against those desires of the flesh. We don't desire sin, but we fight it. We flee it. We abhor it. We desire to put away those old things to mortify our flesh. And how is there that fight going on in you and me? And it's through God's grace and God's work of reconciliation. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." In this new year, God will give us the grace to put away sin, to fight sin, to flee it, to abhor it. What does the new year promise for you and for me? A spiritual warfare. Romans chapter 7, Paul writes, "The good that I would, I do not. And that what I would not, that I do, O wretched man that I am." Romans 7, verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Do you see God's grace? Do you see why there is different behavior and different emotions in the child of God, that new heart with that new desire? I want to serve the Lord. I want to walk with Him day by day. I want to put away my sins. And I want holiness. Not perfect. Not perfect, as the Catechism tells us so clearly. We have all only a small beginning of that new obedience. But we thank God for His grace. As Paul writes in Romans 7, verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." There is a new heart, a new desire to do what is good. There is a looking to God for His grace to enable me, to help me, to forgive me when I fail, to pick me back up again when I slide backwards. Our text talks about the desires of the righteous, that we are found without spot or blemish in the blood of Jesus Christ, His righteousness imputed to us. Our desires, the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus. The desire of the righteous, fellowship with God, a desire after God. So that coming to church on Sunday each week of this coming year is not a burden, "Oh, I have to go to church again," but a desire. We long to go up. We say it's good to be in the house of the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." One thing. What are you saying there? I have one constant desire in my life, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. We read in Isaiah 26, verse 9, "And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We've waited for Him, and He shall save us. This is Jehovah. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation." Why are we so glad? Isaiah 26, verse 8, "He will swallow up death in victory. He will wipe away the tears from all of our faces." Beloved, has the past year found tears on your faces? Tears because, again, you have fallen away from the Lord. Tears because you have walked again in that same sin. He will wipe them away. He gives grace. May we find in the new year, oh, not perfectly, but may we find that grace. That grace that now we steadfastly fight that sin. We put it away. We follow after our God. Desire of the righteous. Seeking that daily communion with God. Each new day, beginning the day, opening up God's Word, listening to Him as He speaks to us, and beginning each day then with our speaking to Him in prayer. Every day. The desire of the riches, of the righteous. I take the words of Job. In my flesh, I shall see God. What was his desire? Not just to go to heaven. May we not be merely heaven seekers, but God seekers. In my flesh, I shall see God. Contrast. Balaam. He desired the pleasures of the world. He also desired heaven to avoid hell and punishment. Let's contrast a Balaam to another Old Testament figure. Moses. We read about Moses in Hebrews 11, verse 24. He chose affliction with the people of God rather than the pleasures of sin for a while. And when coming to the promised land, he didn't want the promised land if the Lord's presence would not go with him. We read of Moses esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. Why? Because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So we have the wicked, we have the righteous. We have the fear of the wicked, we have the desire of the righteous. Notice thirdly, their expectation. The contrast of their expectation and their future. The fear of the wicked comes upon them, says the text. The fear of the wicked comes upon them. That means it's realized. This fear that there is a God, that there is punishment for their sin, is realized. For our God is a consuming fire. And the candle of the wicked, which might seem to have been shining so brightly in this world, is put out. All of their lives already in this world, they experience God's wrath and punishment, but at death, there is eternal death. That is, they don't go out of existence. Oh, they wish they would. They call upon the rocks to fall upon themselves. But the fear of the wicked comes upon them. They are eternally in hell. They will feel God's wrath and God's hatred, God's punishment forever and ever and ever. What a warning! What a gospel we have to preach, not only to ourselves, but to all those around us. The pleasures of sin are only for a little while, but God is a consuming fire. The whirlwind is coming. Flee it. Over against the fear of the wicked that comes upon them, we read, the desires of the righteous will be granted. What is the desire? We said it is communion with God. Walking in His commandments, experiencing His favor. And those desires of the righteous are granted already in this life, aren't they? And may you and I experience them in this coming year. The Lord hears us in the day of trouble. Those things that we hunger will be fed. And listen to the rest of this chapter. The fear of the Lord, his days will be prolonged. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. The righteous shall never be removed. God's people in this life and in the life to come will be visited by God's love and favor, refreshing and renewal. Why do we need in this new year this proverb? Because we live as pilgrims and strangers in this world. It seems like the wicked are prospering, growing stronger and stronger. We say, why? Do you remember the psalmist in Psalm 73? He said, I serve God in vain. Oh, beloved. The pleasures of the world seem so strong. The wicked are increasing. You look at what the culture of our own nation is going through right now, and you see the apostasy in the church as she goes along with that. The wicked shall be cut off. The righteous, their days will be prolonged. God is on his throne. Christ has already obtained the victory. So as we see God's judgments on this world, as we see apostasy around us, look forward, lift up your eyes, full of hope. God is coming in judgment, the whirlwind. He's going to separate the righteous as he did Noah and his family from the wicked world in his day. And we're going to enjoy fellowship with God forever and ever. What a comfort for this new year. I don't know what's going to be in your life or my life this year. There might be some real disappointments, some real struggles, some trials. And that's why I don't say Happy New Year. It might not be so happy. But knowing the Lord, loving the Lord, serving the Lord, made righteous in Christ Jesus, whatever happens this year, it will be a blessed year. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the comfort of thy word. Terrible contrast, great contrast, but a contrast by the grace of God. Oh Lord, as thou hast worked in our hearts and our lives and in us as a congregation in this past year, blessing us, so we pray, do so this coming year. And we pray that with confidence. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Receive our thanks then, Father. Send us forth full of hope and full of desire for thee. Amen.